Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Jasmine wanted to come and say hello and good night before she goes to bed. So you want to tell them good night?
Good night or good morning, because I'm not sure where other people are right now.
Very, very thoughtful.
That's true. We got a Jean-Philippe here. We don't know if he's in France, if he's in Canada. But hello again.
Okay, Jasmine. So we'll see you later, huh? Go to bed.
Oh, fine.
All right, be good.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right. Okay, everyone, happy Wednesday night. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. So what I'm going to do is give you a link. This link goes to October 2005 at reginadonacres.com. And this is where I keep what I call... the personal messages that were originally given to me to be helpful to me, and then later to Laurent and me. It's also where we house the single quiet thoughts that I know a lot of people are reading now. And we're going through reginadonacres.com in chronological order, and we are now, after about a year of doing this, up to October 2005. And in fact, when you get there, you can scroll down on that page to October 6th, which happens to be Laurent's birthday.
The title is great for my birthday.
Yeah, and the title of the message is Suicide. Yeah, so...
Isn't that great?
But what we're going to do, of course, first is we're just going to turn this entire thing over to Holy Spirit.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Do you want to do the prayer?
Sure.
Yeah, good. All right.
I could stay like that for hours, by the way, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, we expect words.
I know. We're on Peltek.
This is an audio program.
But you know, my silence is full of words. Okay. Presence within me, presence that I am, presence that we are all together within. I gladly turn this coming hour to you, over to you. And I thank you to help us see and help us be aware of all the thoughts and the judgments that bind us, seem to bind us to who we are not, so that we can realize that the whole thing is a script. It's not the truth, that we are not persons, we are neither men nor women, I don't truly abide here, but abide with you always. I'm very grateful for the awareness that is growing, for everything that we see, for our wanting, our desire, just to know you and just to live by you and through you. You are indeed one with us. We are one with you. And I'm very grateful to walk this path where you help me to see that all of us are just one and the same, and there are no differences. So we'll use the following hours to strengthen and deepen the realization and the wanting of the truth, and nothing else. Thank you in advance. I love you, and amen.
Amen. All right, then. So what we will do, I will just give the link. I think there might be one more person in the room. I'm not sure. But I'll give the link again. This is the link to October 2005 at reginadonacres.com. And when you find yourself there, what you can do is scroll down to October 6th, and we're going to look at a message called Suicide. And the way this message came about is that somebody else sent me the question and asked me, would I please ask Holy Spirit this question? So this person apparently had a friend or a relative someone in their life that seemed to be considering suicide. And this person wanted to know what to say to that one. So the question given to Holy Spirit was, what would you say to someone that is wanting to end their life? And this is the Holy Spirit's answer. There is no ending to life. One that ends this life simply transitions. Life cannot end. The transition that you see as death is not an end to the mind. Some memories may fade, but the core that is the mind continues on. The pain and suffering that is believed within the mind accompanies the mind into the transition, so one does not find escape through transition. And I will continue this, obviously, but I remember very much writing this message. And of course, as a fearful person who would never want to do anything that would encourage something as awful as suicide, because of course that was definitely my impression. I mean, if I did anything that would make anybody else commit suicide, I would die of guilt. You all understand that thought process, I'm sure. I was not happy with Holy Spirit's strong approach, because I imagined a desperate, desperate person on the other side, just completely miserable with their life, and Holy Spirit saying, well, it's not going to solve anything. And I don't know, I didn't see it as helpful. But I got to tell you, that was my error. That was definitely my error, because the end result of this was that it was helpful. The person who was considering suicide, and in fact, within the next month, two others as well, so a total of three people that I'm aware of, decided to stop considering suicide because they saw that it wouldn't change anything. So it just proves that we don't know anything, because my judgment of this was like, wow, you know, Holy Spirit, I wish you'd shut up. This isn't going to help. And in reality, it not only helped that one, but to my knowledge, at least two others. And it may have helped others that I'm not aware of, because it still sits there on ReginaDonAkers.com.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it touches much more than just the one that are obviously physically touched by it.
Yeah.
You know, somebody has that realization here. Like, you don't know the effect of that in South Africa.
Right. Or how those people may have gone on to help others. You just have no idea. You know, it's
totally,
the butterfly effect.
So it's great. Butterfly effect.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, especially since my friend Monica just entered the room, is I'm going to reread the first paragraph and then move into the second paragraph.
You might want to give
her
the link.
Yeah, I'm going to give her the link. I'm going to give her the link.
To the new NTI teacher.
Yeah. Monica asked if she could start using NTI in her teachings. I'm like, of course. That's a great idea. We love that idea.
Yes.
All right, Monica, so there's the link, and once you click on the link, you will want to scroll down to the message dated Thursday, October 6th. The title of the message is Suicide. And the question was, what would you say to someone that is wanting to end their life? Do you want to say something, my love? Not right now, I'm teaching. I'll be there in a minute. I'm not in a good place right now, but when I find a good place, I'll come say goodnight, okay? I don't know. Give me a kiss, and I promise I'll come. Give me a kiss. All right, I promise I'll come. I'll turn something over to Laurent in a minute, but right now I'm in the middle of something, okay? All right, see you soon. Okay, here we go.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, what would you say to someone that is wanting to end their life? That gave Monica time to get with us, I'm sure. That was perfect, a perfect little delay. Here we go. There is no ending to life. One that ends this life simply transitions. Life cannot end. The transition that you see as death is not an end to the mind. Some memories may fade, but the core that is the mind continues on. The pain and suffering that is believed within the mind accompanies the mind into the transition, so one does not find escape through transition. And I was just reminded to say that, you know, just as this paragraph says, some memories may fade, which means that there may be specific things within this lifetime that seem to be causing your suffering that in a way you will escape from. You will move away from those experiences. But the actual root that caused those events to manifest in this life, those roots, the roots of guilt, the roots of unworthiness, the roots of fear, are still there. So the suffering will continue, although the manifestation of that suffering may be different. So it's not an escape from the actual root. It's only a possible escape from the specific story.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so continuing with the second paragraph.
It reminds me of the single quiet thoughts lately and the work we're doing into listing all the things that we think we are, mm-hmm. you know, using either the single quiet thoughts or the messages. I'm sure you might be familiar with, because you posted, if you're both, can you be either? It's another message we received like last year.
Yeah, and also Hebrews, which we've been reading.
And Hebrews,
the same.
Right. And on the NTI discussion group, that's what we're talking about right now, is to see the thoughts that seem to be defining who we think we are. Okay. The wonderful thing, the wonderful step that Holy Spirit is inviting us to take is actually a step. First of all, is to be aware, so willful awareness, if it's not the case, of what I think I am, and to describe it, the person, and what describe that. And then realize that this gives me the opportunity to judge, and then see that within who I think I am that I didn't want to see before, am I willing to let it go? So we've been doing that for like 2-3 days now with Regina.
Yeah, a couple days, yes.
The drilling is on. The drilling is on because the light, the Holy Spirit, our desire, takes us quite deep, mm-hmm. in deep places. Really putting on the table those ideas and thoughts that are not comfortable at all.
Yeah.
But more than not being comfortable, the imagining of letting them go is much less comfortable than this. You know, the core ideas, what mm-hmm. we think we are, that are truly defining me. And you realize that once you start, first of all, when you go quite deep, and when you start imagining you without what makes you feel happy to be you, like NTI says. NTI Hebrew says, look at all those thoughts, all those ideas that make you happy to be yourself,
right.
happy to be who you are, that make you think that you feel luckier to be you than someone else. All those ideas, you know, why? What makes me so different, so special, so, you know, things that we really hold on to.
Okay, Laurent was talking, he was making a connection, I believe, between the first paragraph, because it talks about the core of the mind continues, although specifics
yes.
may fade, the core continues. And I think this reminded him of something he's been realizing, I guess, over the last couple of days.
Yeah, I've been working on, you know, you get these core ideas. They might seem to, the situation will fade, I guess, when we transition, although I don't have the conscious remembering of that, of transitioning. But the core ideas, really, even if we think soul, they keep on. They keep on in order to be looked at. But they keep on because they define us. That definitely doesn't go away with transition. This is for sure.
Right. This is what, I think Buddhists, for example, call imprints. Because they go with you from lifetime to lifetime.
I don't know.
Yeah, imprints.
Core traumas of the souls or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and I just want to say for the record, because one thing I really like to be very careful about is tell the difference between what I will call my supposing and what Holy Spirit has told me. And although Holy Spirit is telling us in this specific message that the core of the mind continues, He has not told me exactly what He means by that. And what I mean is, what I'm certain of is the core, which is guilt, belief in guilt, belief and fear.
That's for sure.
That definitely continues.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
What I don't know for sure, only because I haven't been told, is if there are other things that are up a level that seem to be core to this personality, whether those things continue or not. I honestly just don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
true.
Yeah.
But it's a nice reflection.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly feels that way when you think about letting go of some of those things.
Totally, yes, yes.
We were talking yesterday about letting go of some of our core personality beliefs, and we could feel panics at the idea of letting them go.
Yeah.
So, all right then, continuing to the second paragraph.
Maybe we want to give the link to, I know Winona just arrived.
Okay.
Hi, Winona. There you go.
There we go. This is the link, and we're working on the message called Suicide, which you will have to scroll down to. And we're moving to the second paragraph now. One who is contemplating ending their life is suffering from loneliness. The suffering may seem to take different forms, and the person may not realize that the pain is the pain of loneliness. But that is the basis of all pain.
That is the basis of all pain. Okay.
The one who considers ending his or her life may agonize over mistakes, lost opportunities, or addictions, specifically guilt about addictions. They may suffer from self-loathing,
which is hate, yeah, self-hate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or live in fear of what seems to be happening or seems to be coming in the future. So in other words, before I continue, Holy Spirit is saying there's one core issue, and that is loneliness. But the one, you know, the one that is thinking about committing suicide may not even be conscious of that. Obviously, some are. Some would tell you, I want to kill myself because I'm lonely, because nobody loves me.
Yes.
Some would.
Yes.
But he's saying that is always the issue, but they may not be aware of it. They may think it's all of these other things. They may be suffering over mistakes they've made, lost opportunities, guilt about addictions. They may just hate themselves. They may seem to live in fear of what's going on in their life or what's coming in the future. So this may be their perception, but the core problem is loneliness. So let's continue. But if the one who is contemplating ending their life can see for even a moment beyond the pain that tortures him or her, if they can see for even a moment beyond whatever they think the problem is, that one will see that the real pain comes from feeling alone within the suffering. And that makes a lot of sense. So you may think that it's lost opportunities, past mistakes, future fears. But the truth is, what's happening is you feel alone with that. You feel like you're the only one that understands your problem, and nobody else is joined with you. So the real core is not the seeming problem that's projected onto, it's the feeling alone in it.
But you said something here very important, that is projected upon.
That is projected upon,
no,
yes.
It's that impossibility to face that horrible feeling of loneliness.
And so what we're really talking about is the feeling of separation here.
I mean, yes, this, I was waiting for the thing, but this is,
yes,
this is not only for the people who want to end their life in the form of suicide.
This is
all what we all, unfortunately, I mean, it's bad. It's very full of despair there, but that is what we all share as a core result of separation. One day I heard Ken in a teaching say, and that moved me. Imagine, in order to see sameness in everyone, in order, like imagine, inside of everyone there's a child that is in the middle of a very busy airport.
Mm-hmm.
The child is 4 years old, and he lost his parents. That's the panic that is inside of all of us, that we don't want to see.
And that's the real root.
Yes.
Of the idea of suicide, regardless of what the person may think the root is. They might not even be able to tell you, I want to die because
right,
I'm
right.
alone.
Or they can say, you know, I'm unworthy or whatever it is, but it's the loneliness.
It's that. It's thinking that they're completely alone already. They're already completely cut off. So again, Holy Spirit says, But if the one who is contemplating ending their life can see for even a moment beyond the pain that tortures him or her, that one will see that the real pain comes from the feeling alone, from feeling alone within the suffering. What this one seeks above all else is love. And one cannot find love by ending one's life. But that one will also not remove his or herself from love through the act of ending one's life. For each one is love, but has lost the awareness of love through the belief in loneliness.
There we go.
So you can see that Holy Spirit is now taking this question about suicide and first of all starting to direct the mind to look at itself, even look beyond its seeming problem and go, wait a minute, you're right. That is the real problem. I thought it was because I was afraid of all the deaths, not being able to pay the bills, not being able to take care of the family. But the real problem is I'm alone in this. And yes, the real answer that I seek is joining.
True.
That's what I really want. I want to feel a part of something. So it's having the mind look at this and realize I wasn't even contemplating suicide for the reasons I thought I was. And that already starts to turn the mind around from the idea of suicide. Because if it's not the problem that I was, that I thought it was, then maybe the solution that I thought I needed isn't the right solution.
Right.
New problem requires a new solution.
And the important thing, with such a, you know, such a heavy subject, the important thing is that, as Holy Spirit said, very positive always through Regina, is that it's a belief.
It's a belief.
Okay, so the child that is totally panicking, loneliness, and that there's nothing worse really than this, is a belief. Now, the whole world now here. Is very often, Regina, you know, we go places and I look at people and I'm kind of sad because I see that everybody's looking for love and nobody can really get love believing that they're separate people. There's no way. It's a very sad world when you think about it. So you can go into the sadness of it and, you know, but I don't know, it's okay. But at least there's sameness there.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, once we realize that we are very powerful, all of us here are very powerful, we are not victim to this condition. That's the thing. We're not victim to this condition. We, each of us, as holograms of the one mind, of course believe, because we're holograms, so it's the same thing. We believe in separation, you know, and that creates experience. But it doesn't make the experience true. It doesn't make it true. So really the idea is to look beyond, to go through even the pain, to realize that it's okay. It's just not true. I created that.
Yes.
It's not true. Because I believe in an idea, here's the terrible feeling that I'm having now. And I want to avoid it. I want to avoid it. By avoiding it, I'm just not seeing. I'm not taking responsibility for it. And yes, I mean, the important thing is that we can very quickly, if we get to that very low place in the mind, be very sad and at least be very compassionate for everyone, because it's a very sad situation. The wonderful thing is that we go a little further, we realize it's a belief. Okay, and it's not true.
Yeah, and that's what Holy Spirit wants them to see here as well, is that this idea that they are alone is only a thought.
Right.
Only a belief. It has no reality at all. And in fact, the next paragraph, Holy Spirit says, what each one must come to realize is that one is never alone. Mm. To be alone is literally impossible. Until a person is ready to learn that lesson, he or she will suffer from the symptoms of loneliness. And so, to the one that is willing to end life, you can say, because remember the original question is, what do you say?
Yes.
Okay, what do I say to someone that I know who's thinking about killing themselves? You can say, I love you. I will always love you. And I can help you if you will accept my help. You are never alone. Very simple message. A very simple message. Again, I love you. I will always love you. And I can help you if you will accept my help. You are never alone. And then Holy Spirit continues, The one you say that to may be willing to accept the love you offer, and they may not. Each one will choose his or her lessons. This is why you must realize that this lesson is also your own. For right now, as you sit feeling sad or afraid for the one that is contemplating ending his and her life, you are also suffering from loneliness. For you have not learned that you cannot be alone, and your brother cannot be alone. You have not accepted our oneness as the only fact that is. And so, I say to you, I love you. I will always love you. And I can help you if you will accept my help. You are never alone. That's pretty nice, huh?
It's a masterpiece. Masterpiece for my birthday. I like it.
And remember, I told you that when I wrote the first paragraph, remember, in my mind, I was wishing Holy Spirit would shut up. Because I thought, wow, Holy Spirit, we're talking about a person who's desperate here, and you're coming on pretty hard. What I didn't realize until this paragraph is that my judgment was coming from the belief in death.
Yes.
From the belief that this one was alone, and that they were suffering, and something really bad was about to happen. And so Holy Spirit not only spoke to the one who asked the question in this paragraph, but he spoke to me, the scribe, when he said, you are suffering because you still believe in loneliness. You have not yet learned that you cannot be alone, and your brother cannot be alone. And I knew then that he was right. So it was a powerful lesson for several people. A beautiful, beautiful lesson.
And it's good to see that this is so uncomfortable as a feeling, to say the least, when we believe it. And there are a lot of cases, there are most chances that we all do. All the effort that we put into not feeling that. But it's a pretty desperate situation because it's here. Mm-hmm. So the whole theater business, the whole specialness, the whole, I'm the only one, I'm the best, or I'm not, all of these things, you know, the concept of self, the other thing, is just a way to not face this.
Let's do these last two paragraphs, shall we?
Okay,
okay, here we go. So Holy Spirit is continuing now, really talking more to me and the one who asked the question than the one suicide. He's really talking to us now, the questioners. He says, the world you live in is an illusion. Nothing is as it seems. Place your faith with me. Put your heart in my hands. Sit within the stillness and be willing to know that I am here. Nothing can ever be lost when you accept the truth of my reality. For that truth is eternal and inclusive and whole. Let the one who is contemplating ending his or her life know that you love him or her, and you will be willing to accept my love as your love. There is no other way. There is no other answer to any question. There is no other answer to any question. To accept my love as your love is to accept the truth as it is. So that was the message on suicide, a really, really beautiful lesson and message. And as I mentioned, to my knowledge, at least three people put aside that idea after, you know, receiving this message. So I think that is pretty cool. What I'm going to do is keep my promise to my daughter and go say goodnight. Do you want to go over today's single quiet thought while I'm gone?
Okay, sure.
Sure, yeah. And then when we get back, we'll do October 7th. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, I got the... I know what to share now. So we can read together. Wait, let me see what the board is talking about this way. Of course it's possible to repost the link. Here it is. Wait, Lisa. Paste. Okay. But you're very welcome. It is a... It is actually totally... It's such a beautiful mess. I'm still very very moved by it, but to tell you the truth, I'm very very touched. Very touched. And it's funny that the compassion thing or the fear of seeing our brothers committing suicide, all that kind of stuff, just because we believe we're bodies, and this is and this belief is present at the core of each one of us, you know, of each one of us. Well, by the way, yes, it would be a nice little win to read together this single quiet thought. It's pretty, you know, it's not that long, but I will read it to you. Who you think you are, this is the single quiet thought of today, who you think you are separates you from who you think you are not. Who you think you are separates you from who you think you are not. Who you think you are provides you with the opportunity to judge. Who you think you are is more than an experience. It is a tool. It is a tool that allows you to continue to play the game of separation. And then the question, the $1,000 question, are you willing to let go of who you think you are? And I cannot not remember like Wayne's answer to that. What kind of tool am I? Let me think. Okay. Go ahead, Regina's back.
Yeah, I want to look at what Lisa May is writing here.
No, that she wanted to...
Is it possible to repost the link? Okay, great. So you got that. Excellent. And you told her we were reading from October 6th, the message on suicide, so... Because the link goes to all of October. Okay, great. Super. All right, and then Lisa, if you want to, you can, of course, listen to the recording later because we will post it on reginadonacres.com, the Holy Spirit Guides page. There's no four in there, just Holy Spirit Guides. All right, sorry, I was gazing into Lisa May's eyes just now and I lost my wording. Okay, here we go. There is no gap, Friday, October 7th. So if you're still down at October 6th, you want to scroll up to October 7th. And it looks like I was reading A Course in Miracles. So here's what I wrote. A Course in Miracles says, there is no gap that separates the truth from dreams and from illusions. Truth has left no room for them in any place or time. And I just simply asked, what would you share regarding this thought? So, Holy Spirit said, if there was a gap, it would mean the truth isn't true, because the truth says there is no gap. The gap that you perceive is illusion, which means it isn't real. It's not that the gap exists now, but once it's healed, it will cease to exist. There is no gap. Everything that you perceive within the mind of God. But what you perceive is a thought only. It has no form. The form is an illusion within the thought. So, of course, what I know is that this was a time when I thought almost like the illusion was in one place and heaven was in another. Which would create a gap between the two, and you have to go from one to the other. Or separation was real, and it had to be healed. We had to be put back together like Humpty Dumpty. You know, we had fallen, and we had broken into pieces, and we had to be put together. And he's really telling me here, no, you're completely wrong about that. And this time I firmly believe that. I think I even had trouble understanding what I was writing at this point, because I just could not see that separation wasn't true now. I could imagine that it might someday be healed, but I could not see that it isn't true now. And this is what he's addressing. And in fact, I still didn't see it from this point probably for at least another 6 months. I didn't see that separation has never been true until I wrote NTI Ephesians. That's when I saw it for the first time. So up until NTI Ephesians, I firmly believed in separation and could only imagine it as something that might someday be healed. So here's what I said next. I said, I trust what you say, but it seems that I want to understand it, and I can't quite seem to do that. The gap that I seem to experience between my brother's mind and mine seems very real to me. And Holy Spirit is helping me. And so Holy Spirit says, that's not always true for you. So he's pointing out to me that what I just said is not always true. And so he's going to help me look at this another way. There are times that the gap seems to fade within your experience. And there are times that you see your brother as yourself. In these times, you have an awareness that the gap is not real. Only this awareness is not a conscious thought, as the belief in the gap seems to be. So in these times, you respond naturally without thought. You simply be for your brother, and what your brother sees in you is the spirit of oneness. So what he's saying to me is there are times when I actually do, and this is true of everyone, whether they're on the spiritual path or not, there are times when I do see my brother and me as one. Or as the Course in Miracles would say, I see his needs and mine as one. One common time that this happens, and we all witness it at least on TV, is like during disasters. A hurricane, a flood, and people come together and they literally forget about separation. They become one. Not in the way that they would talk about it and say, well, you know, I saw that we were one now. It's not a conscious thought, like he said. But what happens is you just naturally respond to that oneness and you treat you and your brother as one. So he's saying, even in your experience now, there are times that this is not true for you. The gap just completely disappears. And then I asked, what should I do to experience this awareness more? And he says, just notice when you aren't experiencing it and be willing to decide that you want a different experience, one that reflects your truth instead of deception. And that actually reminds me of my reaction to today's single quiet thought. I've had a thought in my mind all day with today's single quiet thought. Every time I read it, is this it? We didn't put it back in my pocket, huh? Let me just read it one more time and then I'll tell you how I feel. Again, today's single quiet thought is, who you think you are separates you from who you think you are not. Who you think you are provides you with the opportunity to judge. Who you think you are is more than an experience. It is a tool. It is a tool that allows you to continue to play the game of separation. Are you willing to let go of who you think you are? And the feeling that I've had all day is all that I have to do with this single quiet thought is read it and then say yes at the end every time. That's all I have to do. I don't have to figure out anything else today. I just have to, when he says, are you willing to let go of who you think you are, I just have to say yes. And that's very similar to the end of this message. He's saying, just notice when you aren't experiencing oneness and be willing to decide that you want a different experience, you know, one that reflects your truth instead of deception. So he's saying, just notice and give your willingness to see differently.
Rest and let the perception be healed.
That's all you have to do.
Right.
That's all you have to do. Laurent, anything else?
No.
What's wrong, Jasmine?
I feel like I'm going to be alone.
All right. Tell you what, Laurent. Do you want to try and take this on your own? Okay, Laurent is going to take the message then from October 10th.
Okay, guys. So everybody has the link, and we're going to do the message that I'm discovering with you. What does it mean to give and to receive? That is the question, obviously, that Regina asked. This is the answer from Holy Spirit. Whenever you focus No. To give and to receive is to be love for yourself. To give and to receive is to be love for yourself. Whenever you focus on giving to another, you have lost the thought of God and listened to the thought of the ego, for you believe there are others. That's a pretty direct entrance. Whenever you focus on giving to another, and giving to another is just like, it's the same thing as the single quiet thought and the message before. Whenever I see another, I have the experience of not oneness. So obviously I've slept into forgetfulness and see that, if I believe in another, this is pretty deep with the Holy Spirit lately, in all this single quiet thought into trying to see what defines me and all that. It's not really what defines me comparing with the brothers, but what defines me compared with all the other objects. It's all like it's the belief in other. So we have a belief in the existence of other, and that's what we see. But that is the world. So it's basically, it goes for everywhere your eyes land, you see other. So that is not the truth. So whenever I do anything to another, to give, to give sounds nice, but anything about another, I've slept into ego. I've slipped, into ego. Or you can say slept as well. Holy Spirit continues. I see that Wayne wrote, be the love without boundaries or difference. Totally. While talking about this, one of the last messages, maybe I'll do this one tomorrow at 1 o'clock, because I know I'm teaching. I'll continue the one I started I will do that. Thank you, Wayne. Continue the one I started on last Sunday. Remember, we did that the two of us, we presented to you a conversation we had with Spirit. The last one, actually, the one before the last. But in this one, the Holy Spirit stressed the fact that any judgment, and here we're not just talking about good and bad or right and wrong, although these are major ones, categories, definitions, meanings are judgments. And what they do, as he will tell us beautifully in this message that I will come in tomorrow, what they do is that they thicken the lines around things. They literally thicken the lines around things. And Wayne just called that boundaries. Boundaries. They thicken the line. We had as well the experience, the vision and the experience. You remember when we had the single quiet thought that talked about the one unifying field for the first time. And he said that in the head, the belief in death, the belief in separation is the belief in death, because it is the belief in beginning and endings. Now, when you drop to the heart, there you find the awareness of the one unifying field, which is the awareness of continuity versus beginning and endings, which is the awareness of life. So, and what makes that trip between the head and the heart? And here, of course, we're using symbols. What makes the trip is judgment. When we're out of judgment, when there is no more judgment, when there's only an innocent perception, meaning a perception that is not decided, a point of view that is not decided, meaning I don't know what I'm seeing, and I don't judge it, but that I don't know, then the lines, the boundaries in between the line, le relief, as we say in French, the line, the contours, yes, of things start literally to fade. Okay, so that's what I want to add. So that is Holy Spirit continuing, saying, within illusion, there may seem to be others. Some may seem to be close to you, and some may seem to be strangers merely passing by, but there are no differences in any of them. there are no differences in anything you experience within illusion. It is all the same. It is all projection of a mind darkened by guilt and fear denied. It's very direct again, but it reminds me of a nice rule of thumb to see if we are in ego or in Holy Spirit. And here, even giving a compliment to a brother or having a thought about something, about an experience, but especially about a brother. And the idea, if I can extend what I just said to the whole sonship, there are a lot of chances that I'm with Holy Spirit. If I can only say that for only one brother, that doesn't apply to every brother, then I'm not seeing sameness and I'm with the ego. Even if what I say is, wow, she's marvelous. Now, is she marvelous because of who she is, or is she marvelous because of that condition, because of what she did? Is she marvelous compared with that other one that is less than marvelous? That's a great, and when we realize how far we are from seeing sameness, well, what can we do? Now the words of N.T.I. Luke come to me: rest and let that perception be healed. That is big. I've been practicing a lot the rest and let that perception be healed. It means that I give my willingness to have an experience, another experience, meaning an experience that reflects the truth of sameness, of heaven, because that's what I want above all else. So I give my willingness and then I drop. Then I drop to my heart and I wait, or I rest, knowing, trusting, but knowing is stronger than that this perception is being healed, and that I wait patiently. So I see differences. What do? I give my willingness to see sameness and I rest without denying my experience right now, but knowing that this perception is being healed. I continue. As an aspect of this total awareness, you have a choice. So we are aspects of the total awareness, which is the whole flow. Through thought and belief, you may continue to give the world the thought of guilt and fear that it was made to hold. Okay, so we can continue. Now the great thing is that this thought and belief, and the single quiet thought of the day, and lately it's been a lot about thought, who you think you are, what you believe that you are. These are the cause. So through thought and belief, you may continue to give the world the thought of guilt and fear that it was made to hold, or even actually to hide from, which means to hold. Or you can see the world with a new purpose. This is your choice. This is very, very slowly. This is your choice. Because, by the way, that is our only choice, by the way. That's it. What part of the mind am I choosing? In the illusion of split. But that is my freedom. That is my choice. And if you choose to give the world something different, by choosing to see differently, it is something different that the world will receive from you. This is very smart. See how he takes the question of give and receive and change it totally and give the definition that is giving. To give is to accept the atonement for yourself. In actuality, everybody gives constantly. What do we give? Is the same as what we teach. We give and teach, what we've accepted in the mind as thoughts and belief. I'm never alone to experience the effect of my thoughts, the effect of my acceptance of what I accept, of my beliefs. That's what I teach, but that's what I give. And this is true giving. There's no other giving than this. In some other book of NTI, he said that giving is only by thought. True giving is by thought. It's by thought that you give. But it's not really the thought that you give or extend, which is a nice thing to extend love and to say I love you and stuff, or to send the light or imagine the light. It's really, what am I accepting for myself? That's what I give. And here it's just very clear. Our choice is our choice to give, you know. But we're always giving. Let's see now, what am I giving, really? And since there's only me, what am I receiving as well? For I am receiving what I'm accepting too. So, again, very slowly, and if you choose to give the world something, to give the world something different, how? By choosing to see differently, it is something different that the world will receive from you. And again, our only freedom is now, and it's a freedom of perception. That is my only choice, to choose whether or not to believe the thought that I'm coming, that I'm hearing, whether or not to choose to believe, to hold for truth, the sight that I'm seeing, or the stuff that I'm hearing. My only choice is to believe it or not to believe it. Nothing else. That's it, nothing else. All the rest is an unfolding, or if you prefer, an expression of the idea that I've accepted. That's how it works, the only cause. So everything after that my body is doing, whether my body is sending a rose or not to someone, it will really be, this is why the intention is everything, but the cause is even more. Where am I coming from? What is the, I see now what my body is doing, this is the expression of an idea. What is this idea? Is that the idea of separation? Is that the idea of others and differences? Or is it the idea of sameness and oneness? Holy Spirit continues, there are two choices, darkness and light. You will give the one you accept. You will give, you either give darkness or light. You give the gift of heaven or the gift of the filters from heaven, which is the filters of light, which is darkness. You will give the one that you accepted. Okay, we just talked about this. If you accept guilt and fear and attack, that is what you give. And accept is just believe as, accept as true. You just believe it. If I see conflict outside, you know, I see the war and stuff, and I see that it's conflict, or I see my brother wanting to commit suicide, I know it's a belief in loneliness, but if I'm sad, as I was actually a little earlier myself, if I believe in loneliness, in his loneliness, that's my gift to my brother. That's actually my gift to me, for there are no brothers. So that is my gift to the world. What I am accepting, what am I believing as true, is my gift. So I see a scene of conflict. I'm not dumb. I know that within the illusion, there will be conflict. But do I see it as conflict, or do I see it as love, or do I see it as illusion? That will be what I give to the world. Really to me, because I'm the only one there's only one, and I'm teaching this one. Regina is back, and we are here. There are two choices, darkness and light. You will give the one you accept. If you accept guilt and fear and attack, that is what you give. But if you accept that these are not your real thoughts, and you let the temptation to believe them pass you by, you accept all that is when darkness of illusions have faded, you accept the light. And, you know, here, as very often in one sentence from the Holy Spirit, the whole path is written, the whole path is described. And here you get these phrases, if you accept that these are not your real thoughts, and you let the temptation, so here you get, the temptation here is really the ambassador, the leftover of the desire to play the game, the desire not to know yourself. That will unfold as temptation to believe them, to believe that, but it's conflict, that to believe what my eyes are showing me. If you let them pass by, and here you see let them pass by is the path of no resistance whatsoever, so then you let all the darkness, but the darkness will fade with the illusion. Do you remember, Regina, that that message. You were asking, what does it mean to give and to receive? And the Holy Spirit is giving us like just a mastery reminder that you don't see another, you know, like there's no other. So if you believe that you very nicely give something to another, you're already with the ego. And then he really finds, of course, giving and receiving in the idea that you only give to you, by the way, and receive is the same thing. And the way to do that is not to send a flower, it's just to accept or not to accept a thought. Mm. That is the gift you give. That is the teaching you teach. Mm. Right here, you accept the light. What you accept, Holy Spirit continues, you give. Because what you accept fills the mind of which you are one. We're never alone experiencing our acceptance or our belief. Remember, there are no differences. Remember, it is all one. Remember, it is all thought. Remember that the thoughts you accept contribute to the whole. Through this, to give is to receive. This is the divine law that tells you who you are. Accept this truth and be glad. But of course, accept the earlier, what did he tell? Oh, it was during a conversation we had. Earlier, we were, like a day ago, 2 days ago, we had this conversation, and Holy Spirit was talking to the two of us about, we were asking stuff about the relationship, okay? And Holy Spirit was saying, okay, first of all, now we're going to move somewhere else. We're going to try to avoid the term relationship.
Or let go of the term, yeah.
We're going to let go of the term relationship. And we're like, oh, wow, okay. Okay. And he's totally right. I mean, of course he's right. In the term, encapsulated in the term relationship, there's relation. There's two. There's another. There's a joining, yes? There's a joining. And he says, instead of that, we're going to use the term conflict. That's pretty good. We're going to use the term... But this is Wayne's writing. We're going to use the term unit.
Unit. Yeah, Laurent and I are no longer in a relationship. We are a unit.
We are a unit. Freudian slip. Yeah, I know. Oops. I know. Okay. I mean, you know, the ego is not over. So anyway, and then we saw some resistance to using that.
Big time resistance.
Yeah. I mean, especially new.
Well, and for the first time, Laurent was continuing to talk to, this has never happened before, not with speaking anyway. I guess it has happened with writing, but not with speaking. For the first time, Laurent was continuing to talk to Holy Spirit, and I said, wait a minute, I have to quit. I have to quit.
Forget about it.
I can't do this anymore. And I just quit right in the middle of the conversation.
now, I'm mentioning this because the answer of Spirit is because the answer of Spirit was very clear, and it was no problem at all. He said, what are you afraid of letting go? We are talking about a fact, you know. It's not like something new, you know. It's a fact. The fact is unit. The relationship is
illusion.
Is total illusion. But when he said that to you, you relaxed. You're like, oh, look, it's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of, this is great, all these little words, sometimes they just drop in so simply. You go, well, oneness is a fact. There is no there's no separation. It's a fact. Where you made, that whole effort was to make two.
Yeah, it's funny. There was one point where this Holy Spirit was talking to us about, you know, the not being a relationship, we're being a unit, and I was having a lot of resistance, and I was even getting pissed off. And at one point in my mind, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, what are you, the guru of relationships or something? So there was lots of resistance on my part.
That was great.
And I still haven't heard that tape, so maybe tonight after we get done teaching,
yeah,
we can
listen to
it. Yeah, I'd like to listen to it.
it's very deep. So I don't know, now it's 10:01, which is a nice number right here.
Oh, wait, Steve and Laurie have their hand up.
Yes, here we go.
Yeah,
oops,
turn on.
No, no.
I've got to do more.
That. It's this one, okay.
Yeah, it was good you didn't do it right away because I pushed the wrong button at the wrong time, too. I just pushed the error button. But I guess this whole message is reminding me when it says, you know, what you give, what you accept, you give, because what you accept fills the mind of the mind of which you are one. To me, it reminds me of like Luke chapter 9 mostly, like he says in there. I even like it when he says, like, Well, he starts out saying, like, everyone who reads my word, listens to my word, and practices my word, teaches my word, there can be no exception. You who are reading this now are my only teacher. And then he says, like, I like when he says, like, do not worry about how you are to teach. I may have you teach without a single spoken word. I guess I just like that line. And then he says, well, it says it a bunch of times in between. You who are reading these words without exception for any reason, you are the one. I guess that reminds me of Morpheus talking to Neo or something like that in The Matrix. But it says, you do not understand the power of your mind. That power is unspeakable in your world. It cannot be described. But know this. Every thought that you accept teaches within the mind of man. It says, and then it goes on, the single mind that you are is taught through the thoughts that you agree to think. This is how you are to teach the world. And he keeps going on about, you know, the fish you eat feeds a multitude of men. You know, every thought that you think is literally heard around the world. The consciousness of man is shaken by your every thought. And so it is through thought that you teach, no matter what you are saying or doing, or no matter what you are. Well, he says, again, listen to me, remember my words, practice all that I say, and then, like I read before, the fish you eat feeds a multitude of men. So I think in Luke chapter 9, he really brings this, to me, really brings it home, that every thought that we accept from him is teaching the mind, and that's how we teach. We don't even have to say a word. I think that's the kind of interesting part of it, you know, that everything we accept is doing the teaching. No, 2 minutes ago, that now, Robin, is 2 minutes to now? I didn't read that. So anyway, I just thought it really reminded me of NTI Luke chapter 9, that we don't even have to say a word, that we're teaching the mind with every thought that we accept from the Holy Spirit. So, all right, that's just what it reminded me of, and that's just what I wanted to share, I guess. So, thank you. Here's the mic back. Let's see, push this one. Push the tongue.
Thank you, Steve. I mean, you're becoming like our NTI specialist there. I'm just wondering. I don't know. There seems to be a late night someone, but you say no, so maybe not.
Oh no! I mean, I think we're done. But yeah, as far as I know, when we teach on Wednesday nights, we go 9 until we're done. There isn't. It's not ending like on the dot at 10. Sometimes we've gone till 10:15. It just depends on where we're at. But we are done. You know, it depends on when we finish whatever message we're at. So
we are done.
Yeah, but we are done. So we can stop. Yeah, following now is late night at Gather.
Yeah, you got drinks.
Yeah, as far as I know, Dev, if it's changed, let me know. But as far as I know, there wasn't a hard stop time on Wednesday nights. It was kind of soft whenever we finished.
It was not a very thick line, so there was not a lot of judgment and definition right
there. Yeah, he's saying yes, there's not a hard stop time. So but we are done. We are done for tonight. Who knows how long we'll go next time we're here, but for tonight we're done, because I'm going to go back and spend more time with Jasmine. So I need to be in another place right now anyway.
Excellent. So thank you.
Yeah, good night, everyone. We love you. And is it now yet?
Not exactly, Wayne. Not exactly. It's not totally now yet. Let's be patient.
That's funny. Laurent is back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
You know, maybe I'll join him, depending on what else I got.
And I just know, actually, that Wayne gave me the prompt to continue on the tape.
Then I probably will be here for
probably
will continue
be here.
On the
yes,
tape.
Yes.
Good.
We'll be talking about judgment.
Yeah.
Judgment.
All right, and then we'll see you also on Friday at 2 for NTI Study Group, and Jasmine will be back on Friday at 4.
And I think we're arriving, not yet, wait, now it's now.
Now it's now. All right, then we're out of here.
Now it's now.
Bye.
Okay, bye.